Hey, this is Mike Doc from themoneygoround.com. It is Sunday, February 25th, 2012. This is Audio Boo number 146. Well, it's, I think it's Oscar night, right? Billy Crystal's hosting, and I'm recording it. I've watched part of it, but I don't like watching the commercials, so I'm kind of timescaping or whatever they call that. Anyways, so I'm out walking the puppy. It's a nice night, not too windy. And we'll talk a little bit about, the stock market and some of the other things going on, I guess. First of all, as I wrote on the blog on Friday, I did start to do some portfolio reallocation. Again, raising a little bit of cash. And although I think I'm still approximately about 80% invested in the market, but definitely started to lower my beta, which means to get rid of the stuff that's been outperforming. It's been a huge run, but I'm we get some sell signals on the black box, which of course none of them have been right so far, but I think it's about to be right. So and also going by some other indicators I look at, and I think there's a lot of bullishness out there, and I think the market's just had a nice run. I think the parallels to last year are going to be pretty obvious. I think we're headed for another spring summer correction. But anyways, I wanted to get out while everybody was talking about how high Apple's going to go and how high energy stocks are going to go and that kind of stuff. I just wanted to, I didn't want to be the last man out of the pool. I think pretty much a lot of people are already in the pool. So gold's also moving up and oil's moving up. I don't really like gold too much, but I think oil's going to head up for a little while. Just because aren't we about to head into the part of the season where they switch into the seasonal summer blend and they start taking some refineries down? And I think normally we see some price increases, and we're ahead of schedule. I mean, that normally doesn't happen for a little while yet, but it seems like gas prices are already up just on fears. And I don't think any of the fears are going to subside in the near term, because we still have I think Benjamin Netanyahu is coming out here to meet with President Obama in a couple of weeks to talk about Iran and the threat Iran poses. And Iran's still making threats, and they've actually put the, making a first strike on the table. So we'll see what happens. But I think there's still going to be some upward pressure on oil. So that's that. Watched a bunch of movies this weekend. Got that free Showtime preview. So I've been recording a lot of movies and watching a lot of movies, plus Netflix. I'm trying to think the movie I had. I watched the Twilight Eclipse, whatever the last one is. The two-parter, right, where she turns into a vampire. I hope I'm not spoiling it for you. To me, those are just kind of long, drug-out movies. It's like, if I got to take a bathroom break, don't pause the movie for me. It's a lot of angst, and I still don't know why Jacob just didn't go imprint himself on some other girl instead of pining after Bella, but hey, that's just me. Apparently the kids love that movie, or that series of movies. Try to think what else is going on. I've heard that, with the oil prices going up, President Obama dedicated Saturday's weekly address to the nation to basically not blaming himself, talking about algae for fuel or algae for cars, right? Good luck on that. I'm not saying we shouldn't pursue the technology. It's just, I think it's going to be a while before we can start fueling our tanks on that stuff. And in the meantime, they should be drilling for oil. They should be using, natural gas for cars. They should, be doing something else. And I heard, who was I listening to was talking about the Volt and the Nissan Leaf and battery technology. The problem is that the battery is like 50% of the vehicle, 50% of the cost of the vehicle. And those who buy now or buy right away, you're buying a battery that declines in performance over time, right? So you're getting a huge depreciation once you drive it off the lot, especially when new battery technology is improving all the time. I mean, if they can get a car battery that lasts, say, 200 miles or 300 miles on a charge, and it might be coming, Who knows? It might be coming. But that's when it makes more sense, right? I don't want to drive 40 miles. I mean, heck, my daily commute's about that or over that. And I don't want to have to worry about plugging my car in all the time. Or carrying around a 100-mile extension cord or something crazy like that. It's getting there, and I don't think we should stop trying to come up with a better alternative fuel. And I don't know if we're there yet. I don't know if it makes sense. So I remember, it seems like it was almost 10 years ago, the reason that we didn't drill in Alaska's ANWR was because, well, we wouldn't have a drop of oil for 10 years. Well, it's almost 10 years. I mean, we would have that oil available. You know, whether or not we use it or sell it or do whatever with it, at least that would be oil that's available. And the same thing with oil permits in the Gulf. If, you know, Obama's taking credit for all the increased production because of all the oil wells that George Bush approved during his administration. Meanwhile, Obama's, as far as new permits goes, he's, you know, he's cut the number in half. He's really, he's cut the number down. And we need to have that oil available, whether or not we drill for it or we sell it to the global market. The thing to remember is, you know, if we're drilling, if the world is drilling 87 million barrels a day and the world consumes 85 million barrels a day, there's not a lot of room for error, right? I mean, Strait of Hormuz closes, that impacts that, you know, there's 80 million barrel a day demand and 87 million a day supply. So we should have the oil wells ready to go. We don't want to have a 10-year project. We want to have the 10-year project underway or completed and ready to go, even if the wells are tapped. We need the infrastructure there ready to go. So the talk is, will Obama open up the strategic petroleum reserves? And my guess is he will. I don't know when, but he's going to have to do something to get oil prices down, or it's going to be a huge impact on his presidency, on his chance for a second term. Because, you know, right now, with the economy improving, the Republicans don't have much to run on because, you know, they can run on birth control, but that ain't going to work. So it's got to really be about something that affects people in their pockets, and it's oil prices. And eventually, you know, that oil prices could lead to problems with the economy. I mean, the economy is vulnerable to an oil shock. If we're spending money on gasoline, it means we're not spending money at the Cheesecake Factory and BJ's and that kind of thing. So we'll see retail stocks go down, and, you know, transportation stocks, they got to eat the price. And so that's what's out there. So he needs a better strategy. I know Newt Gingrich is talking about guaranteeing $2.50 oil, and of course he could do that by diversifying the fleet with natural gas and increasing oil production. But Newt Gingrich doesn't have a chance. And I don't know about Romney and Santorum, which gets me to the presidential primary for the Republicans and Santorum versus Romney. And I finally watched the debate from last Tuesday. I watched part of it during the week, and then I watched the rest of it today. And I think as much as Santorum, kind of has an emotional appeal, I think I still like Romney's answers better than anybody. But there's just something about him, right? There's something lacking. I don't know if it's charisma. I don't think they're out of touch. I mean, we shouldn't be envious. That's the other thing, is we shouldn't be envious of other people's success. We should want to achieve that. And, you know, the government can't guarantee success. And the government should just guarantee opportunity. And it's up to us to make the most of where we are in life with our situation. I mean, we're born here in America, or we're living in America, and it's up to us what we achieve in life. Which brings me to the next thing. Here in California, they're talking about creating pensions for everyone. You know, the state workers and municipal workers have CalPERS, which is the state investment program, which provides a pension, what, defined benefit, right, as compared to a 401k or IRA, which is a defined contribution, and the results are up to how you invest. Well, because there's a lot of pension envy in California, folks are looking to a guaranteed pension. And so they want the state to create a pension for everyone. In other words, anybody who works can buy into this pension, and you'll get a pension when you retire. It'll be another defined benefit. But you look at the defined benefits that exist today, the Social Security, the CalPERS, you know, the city of Vallejo, mean, all these places, their pensions are underfunded, right? I mean, Social Security is running out of money. CalPERS is underfunded. CalPERS routinely underperforms the simple market index. You know, if you put all the money in the total stock market index, you do better than CalPERS does. And CalPERS hires all these six-figure investment advisors, right? And, of course, they don't compare themselves to the index. They compare themselves to other managed funds, which, you know how that goes. Other investment funds can't beat the index either. So if you compare themselves, if you compare yourself to them, well, heck, you might have a chance, right? But it seems like you could ditch a lot of high-paid investment advisors and go straight to an index fund and, you know, achieve better results. But they don't do that. So if California has this defined pension for the private sector workers, my fear is that over time what would happen is it would just be another redistribution program. They'd figure out a way for those of you who were wealthier, they'd figure out a way that, well, hey, you don't need as much of benefits even though you paid into it. And here you have a lot of people who don't work for a living, and boy, they sure deserve to retire. I mean, we can't put them to work when they're 70 years old working in the fields or working in a blue-collar job or something, driving trucks or something. So they should get a better pension because it's only fair. It's the right thing to do. And I think that's where that would head. So if that's put up for a vote, I'll definitely vote that down. And but this is California. It's a very liberal state. So it wouldn't surprise me if we head in that direction. Give everybody pension. Free pensions, just like Greece. Well, hey, it is a Sunday night. It's Oscar night. It's a puppy walking night, like every night. I hope you're having a great one. See ya.
Musicalley.com is Zoom by Bill Grease. See ya.
You're far away, out of my range, and I'm stuck where I'm standing. And I miss your face, and the sure way your smile just keeps me grounded. I wish I could zoom, zoom, zoom. I wanna see the things you do. Bring them on into view. I want to zoom, zoom in. Zoom, zoom, zoom. I want to get a good look at you. See your whole world through some kind of zoom, zoom lens. You still believe, have faith that we'll wind our way together. But until then, I guess about the times we had, use the vision of my mind's eye.